Georgia about Hate Street. This is BuildBot.com. The Week in Georgia, in English, coming to you from the nozzle from which your digital life spews, the Lower Hate in San Francisco, California. Today is Thursday, the 1st of November, 2018. On this date, in 1009, Suleiman ibn al-Hakim and an Amzig army defeat the Umayyad Caliph Muhammad II ibn Hisham and capture Cordoba, Spain, then the biggest city in the world. 1348, the anti-royalist Union of Valencia attacks the Jews of Morviedro, contemporary Sagunto, Spain, on the pretext that because they are serfs of the King of Valencia, they are royalists. 1894, Nikolai II becomes the last Tsar of Russia, known for killing a bunch of people and losing the Russo-Japanese War. 1911, Italian Sitorente Guido Gaviotti conducts the world's first aerial bombing raid in Libya during the Turco-Italian War. 1916, Russian liberal politician Pavel Milchyov gives his famous stupidity or treason speech at the State Duma, leading to the downfall of the Boris Strumer government and fanning the flames of revolution. 1918, the West Ukraine People's Republic declares independence from the Austro-Hungarian Empire. 1922, the Ottoman Sultanate is abolished by the Grand National Assembly of Turkey, led by Mustafa Kemal Atatürk. Sultan Mehmed VI will leave Constantinople for exile in Malta 16 days later. Birthdays are, in 1935, Palestinian-American post-colonial theorist and cultural critic Edward Said, known for Orientalism, the book. In 1957, American country singer and cowboy guy Lyle Lovett. In 1996, American rapper Gustav Gus Elijah Ahar, a.k.a. Lil Peep, known for his involvement in the post-emo revival style of hip-hop and rock. I'm your host, Mark Mullen. If you'd like to comment on the forum or ask a question, or at this point, really just vent, go to tpeelpod.com or send us an email at tpeelpod, T-B-L-P-O-D, at gmail.com. First round of presidential elections ended on Saturday with Otsneba-endorsed independent Salome Zurabashvili in the lead with 38.64% of the vote. That's 615,624 votes, followed by the United National Movement's coalition of Grigol Vashadze with 37.74%, less than a percentage point behind. 1,637,956 people, or 46.74% of eligible voters, participated, although there's some questions about the denominator of that number and the number of eligible voters. We'll talk about that later. Anyway, the Tbilisi vote was split, with five districts going for Zurabashvili and five for Vashadze. He also led with voters from abroad and in almost all other cities: Kutaisi, Rustavi, Poti, Batumi, Tel Aviv, Mskheta, Gori, and Zugdidi. European Georgia's Dato Bakradze came in third with 10.97% of the vote, endorsed Vashadze less than 2 hours after the polls closed. He was followed by Labor's Shalva Natalashvili with 3.74% of the vote. Free Georgia Development Movement's Dato Usupashvili and Girchi Zuda Japaridze with 2.26% each, and Free Georgia's Kaja Kukava with 1.33%. The remaining candidates all received less than 1% of the vote. Girchi received over 5% of the overseas vote, which was just 312 people, but still something. Since no candidate won over 50% of the vote, there'll be a runoff between Zurabashvili and Vashadze. This is Georgia's first ever presidential runoff. The Central Elections Commission has 20 days to publish a final tally, and the runoff will be held 2 weeks after the publication, so at latest on the 1st of December. Exit polls differed drastically depending on who funded them, as you'll remember, the listeners to this show. The Rustaviotti one was fairly accurate, predicting a Zurabashvili and Vashadze runoff with about 40% each. The European Georgia poll showed Vashadze in the lead, but still heading to a runoff with Zurabashvili, and gave Bakradze 6 percentage points more votes than he actually received. Finally, the Otsneba poll, implemented by a polling company with the super confidence-inspiring name Psycho Project, was very far off, showing Zurabashvili winning outright with the predictable 52% of the vote. After the exit polls were released, Otsneba leaders somewhat preemptively congratulated Zurabashvili on her victory, and Bidzina expressed concern that the UNM were planning unrest, but said that the police are mobilized and the state agencies are mobilized, so they would not succeed. The unrest did not materialize. Lots of groups came to observe the elections, including representatives from 58 international organizations, National Democratic Institute Observer Group found Election Day largely orderly, but the pre-election period highly negative, with aggressive, personalized, and unprecedented attacks on civil society from senior officials and alleged abuse of administrative resources. Positives were that the election was competitive and voters were presented with diverse political choices through longstanding problems of an uneven playing field and abuse of administrative resources remaining. A group from the OSCE Office of Democracy Institutions, Democratic Institutions Human Rights, or ODIHR, and OSCE Parliamentary Assembly and Parliamentary Assembly of the Council of Europe, NATO Parliamentary Assembly, and the European Parliament found the elections were competitive, professionally administered, held in a professional, orderly, transparent manner. Yawn. And that candidates were free to campaign and that voters had genuine choice. However, they also found that there were some misuse of administrative resources. Senior state officials from OTSNEBA were involved in the campaign and a substantial imbalance in donations and excessively high spending created an uneven playing field. They also criticized the media, saying that the sharp polarization of the private media, negative campaigning and harsh rhetoric, and lack of analytical reporting limited the ability of voters to make fully informed choice. International Society for Fair Elections and Democracy found that the vote counting was mostly orderly. Some violations, including improper tallying of votes, improper data entry, limits on observer rights, discrepancies between numbers of ballots and signatures, procedural violations related to ballot box sealing, instances of declaring legit ballots invalid. They also expressed some concern about party activists, mostly, but not entirely, OTSNEBA, that were often present near precincts and were comparing voters' lists of supporters, which ISFED said might impact voter choices and could be perceived by voters as indirect pressure. By the day after the election, they'd submitted 73 complaints about precinct submissions and 82 for district commissions. The ISFED parallel vote tabulation results were in line with the results announced by the Central Elections Commission, though they found that a significant number of ballots, 3.2%, were declared invalid, a large increase from 1.8% in 2016. Georgia Young Lawyers Association filed 94 complaints, mostly on similar issues to ISFED. They also expressed concern about pressure on voters in the form of phone calls from OTSNEBA, a case of voter bribing, case of ballot removal, use of improper IDs, scuffles, violations of marking procedures, campaigning at the election precinct. The hardest working NGO in the caucuses, Transparency International Georgia, filed 9 complaints, 6 instances of voter bribery, a ballot stuffing incident in Zugdidi, and smaller procedural mistakes like those mentioned previously. On Election Day, opposition candidates warned about massive fraud, with Bashadze saying there has been hundreds of attempts at voter fraud and vote buying. From 5 p.m. to 8 p.m., the authorities are planning to massively falsify elections through carousel voting. Bakradze also mentioned Shevardnadze-style carousel voting. These comments do not appear to have been based on verifiable facts, just as they were not based on verifiable facts in Shevardnadze's era. No actual real carousel voting ever happened then, though there were some media reports of vote buying in Zugdidi at Zurabashvili's own polling station. Sorry, in Tbilisi at Zurabashvili's polling station. Numerous Georgian foreign leaders and organizations commented on the elections. Prime Minister Mamuka Bakhtadze called peaceful elections an OTSNEBA tradition and noted that the results sent a clear message to the government on its mistakes and public expectations. Tbilisi Mayor Kahi Kaladze said that the elections were proof that OTSNEBA has managed to establish a genuine democracy, but also that they may have been excessively confident. He also expressed concern that backing an independent rather than nominating an OTSNEBA candidate may have hurt their success. Former President Misha Saakashvili commented thanking Bakradze for endorsing Bashadze and said he hoped Shalva Natalashvili would do the same. Meanwhile, Zurabashvili has promised not to let Georgia fall to Russia and Grigol Bashadze. OTSNEBA MPs Gedevan Popkhadze and Irakli Sesiashvili have been talking about a possible civil war if Bashadze wins in the second round, echoing earlier comments from senior leaders like Ivanishvili and Gakharia. They said he plans to bring Saakashvili back, free former Interior Minister Vano Medavashvili from prison, liquidate political opponents, and begin revolutionary processes. Misha spoke to Rustavioti shortly after the comments and said that he would not ask Bashadze to pardon him, saying, "I have not committed any crimes against Georgia besides the fact that I built the Georgian state." He added that he thinks Bashadze will win with 70% of the vote. Imedi TV has come out in favor of Zurabashvili, saying that Imedi TV and its owners have experienced what it means to have the UNM govern the country. Therefore, Imedi is changing its regular broadcasting schedule so that the UNM regime does not return. They have added a new political talk show and increased the length of their pre-existing one. UNM activists and members were apparently attacked by the Ahal Kalaki Member of Parliament, Enzel Mikoyan, and his brother at the UNM headquarters in Ahal Kalaki on the 30th. Four people were hospitalized, mainly with head injuries from being hit with wooden batons. And Otsneba representative and Mikoyan say that a conflict began after UNM members were seen tearing down Zurabashvili's posters and used bad language about her and Otsneba leader. So Otsneba members came to the headquarters and started the brawl. Police are investigating. An 8-year-old girl was murdered in Gori last week in a case that made waves in the Georgian media. She was found in the courtyard of the Gori District Court with her legs tied in metal wire and plastic bag over her head after disappearing on her way to dance class. 34-year-old construction worker Iago Nebiaridze was arrested, says that he's innocent. He's previously convicted of kidnapping a woman for ransom and sentenced to 17 years in prison before being released early this year on a presidential pardon. He has also been accused of kidnapping children before, including a case involving an 11-year-old boy who was never found. The Tbilisi City Court found Data Khalaya, the former head of the Interior Ministry's Department for Constitutional Security, guilty of involvement in the 2006 murder of Sandra Ghirvliani. The controversial case implicated a number of senior Interior Minister officials in the Saakashvili government who allegedly killed Ghirvliani following an argument at a Tbilisi birthday party. Akhalaya has been charged with exceeding his official powers, degrading and inhuman treatment, and the prosecution says that he gave the order to the Department for Constitutional Security officials to kill Ghirvliani. The prosecution says that the new charges arose following a 2011 ruling by European Court of Human Rights that found the original investigation inadequate, since the whole thing was a cover-up. Akhalaya left Georgia after the 2012 elections brought Otsneba to power and was thus charged in absentia. In 2016, the Tbilisi court convicted him of premeditated group murder, exceeding official powers, falsification of evidence in another case, and sentenced him to 12 years in jail. The latest ruling adds another 7 years and 6 months of jail time if he were to return. Zaza Saralidze, a protest leader and father of one of the boys killed in last year's controversial Joraba Street murders, was arrested last Friday for assaulting a police officer. Saralidze has been rallying in front of the old parliament building in Tbilisi for several weeks, has been arrested while trying to erect a tent while police tried to stop him. He's captured on video hitting a police officer with a tent pole, apparently continued to try and attack while the policeman was in an ambulance and could face up to 7 years in jail. Two other protesters were also arrested and face administrative penalties. Public defender Nino Lomjadia says the attempts by the authorities to prevent Saralidze from putting up a tent are an illegal restriction on freedom of assembly. Saralidze was taken from the police station to the hospital, where he remained for 4 days for an unknown reason. His mother, Marina Bagadze, came to continue the protest while he was incapacitated. Because of the involvement of the Tbilisi prosecutor's office in the Joraba Street case directly, Saralidze's case will be handled by the Rustavi office. Saralidze has expressed distrust in the prosecution overall and does not think that moving the case to Rustavi will change much. Yet another secret audio recording appeared last Thursday, allegedly featuring Misha and his uncle Temur Alasania, a former UN official, where Temuri is heard saying that he would pay $1 million-something, dollars or lari probably, for assassinating Bidzina Ivanishvili. Saakashvili and Alasania both deny that the conversation ever happened. The tape appeared on a Ukrainian website before being picked up by Georgian media. Bidzina gave another TV interview on Friday and mentioned the tape, saying, "Pardon me, but they have no guts for that. It's not so easy to assassinate me." During the same interview, he also accused UNM of politicizing and leading the Saralidze Joraba Street murder protests and continued to attack civil society. He focused on Transparency International Georgia Executive Director Eka Gigauri, calling her a UNM-influenced leader and coordinator of civil society, and said that while she was deputy director of the border police in the 2000s, she took part in a crackdown on peaceful protesters and authorized bonus payments for the police officers who were there. this is a lie, and I know that personally. He also said that it would be good for her to leave the civil society sector. Kigoti responded on Facebook that Ivanishvili was lying and gossiping. NDI's comments were good about this whole matter and Ivanishvili's direct criticism of Gigaoti, in which he is, they are false and he is lying and knows it. In general, the commentary from the international community has been fairly muted, most notably by the U.S. Embassy. Of course, there is not a sitting U.S. ambassador right now, but the embassy has said almost nothing about this, and the European Union and European Union member states have not said much either. Little from and particularly bad has been David Lee, who chairs the Europe Foundation board, has been all over Facebook with false allegations about Gigaoti specifically, and a convoluted, unclear set of allegations about a cabal of civil society activists he blames in precisely the same way that Ivanishvili does, confused and false. So let's get it together on that, people. South Ossetian authorities have increased fines for so-called border violations by 250%, from 2,000 to 5,000 rubles, which is now about $75. The South Ossetian authorities and Russian forces have a habit of abducting people on or near the vague and fluctuating ABL or occupation line and holding them until somebody pays the bribe. This is otherwise known as kidnapping. The Tbilisi City Court held a hearing last week with former Minister of State Security Igor Girgadze, who was suing the news website Democracy and Freedom Watch for describing him as public enemy number one and saying he'd been sentenced to 17 years in jail in a 2016 article. Girgadze is currently wanted by the Georgian government and lives in Moscow, where he spreads conspiracy theories about Tbilisi's Luger lab. It is somehow cruelly, acutely nostalgic to be reminded that this geriatric Kremlin marionette is still alive. I hadn't heard from him in a long time. John Bolton, assistant to the United States President for National Security Affairs, or the National Security Advisor, and his enormous walrus mustache, visited Georgia on the 25th and 26th of October. Rumor is that it was about Georgia leaning on Iran. Something nobody in Georgia really cares about doing and has about as much utility for Georgia as leaning on Turkey or Armenia. No report as to specifically how that was supposed to happen. Foreign Minister David Zalkalyani met with Azerbaijan and Turkish foreign ministers in Istanbul on the 29th. National Statistics Office of Georgia Geostats released its preliminary data for economic growth in the third quarter of 2018, showing 4% GDP growth. Georgia has moved up on the World Bank's ease of doing business report, passing the United States of America to be sixth in the world, following New Zealand, Singapore, Denmark, Hong Kong, and South Korea. The ranking is based on the ease of opening and operating businesses, complying with taxes and other aspects of the regulatory environment. The meme this week is a transcript of an exchange between a Tbilisi air traffic controller and an Air France pilot that goes as follows. Hello, Tbilisi. This is Air France 123. Hello, Air France radio contact. Спасибо, Tbilisi. Bitte, Air France 123. Silence. Say again. Bitte, Air France 123 in German means you're welcome. Oh, but we are French, sir. I know, sir, but Spasibo is Russian and we are Georgians. Oh, sorry, Tbilisi. No problem, sir. Yes, allegedly an actual transcript. Stuff to read. Recent Pew report looks at differences between Western, Central, and Eastern Europe, including Georgia, using survey data from 2015 through 17. It shows that 17% of Georgians would accept a Muslim family member, higher than only Armenia, 7% Belarus and Lithuania. For comparison, 82% of Norwegians said they would accept a Muslim family member. Georgians were the least likely to be willing to accept a Jewish family member as well, with only 27% saying that that would be acceptable. Georgians were also the second most likely to say that religion is a key component of national identity, and the second most opposed to gay marriage, following Armenia again. 95% of Georgians oppose same-sex marriage. 85% think abortion should be illegal. Strange, since Georgia, like most post-Soviet states, has among the highest abortion rates in the world. Georgia has the highest rate of abortion opposition in Europe. Georgia was also the second most likely to consider its culture superior to others after Greece. The survey also found that young adults were not much less conservative than their elders. And in the case of accepting Jews as family members, young Georgians were slightly more conservative. They also surveyed for religious belief and found that 89% of Georgians are Orthodox, 1% are Catholic, 1% are Protestant, and 9% are other, don't know, presumably mostly Muslim. Interestingly, Georgia was the only country surveyed where 0% of respondents said they had no religion. The 1% of respondents said that they did not believe in God. A majority of Georgians believe in fate, and a majority of Georgians believe in the evil eye. 11% believe in reincarnation. A little less than half of respondents said that they believed religion should be kept out of government policy and in news that probably won't strike anyone as particularly interesting following this election campaign. 92% of Georgians believe speaking the language is an important component of national identity. Zurabashvili has a kind of whacked out accent in Georgian, for those who don't know. New Eastern Europe also wrote about potential threats to elections, noting some issues not covered widely elsewhere, notably that the Central Elections Commission announced that there are 3,503,511 registered voters, an impossibly large number in a country with a population of 3,872,752 and a voting age of 18. This could provide an opportunity for ballot box stuffing. Eurasianet wrote about how the political scandals of this election season have been received in Russia, where the media has been happy to use the new allegations about the murder of Badri Patrikhatashvili to smear Misha and the West. They have also made a comparison between the case, the recent Skripal poisonings, and even the 16th century death of Ivan the Terrible, highlighting supposed similarities in order to imply British intelligence may have played a role in both killings. Should be noted that it's widely accepted by every normal person that Russia, and the Kremlin specifically, is the one that tried to kill the Skripals very incompetently. The recently established company Tpilnomics Policy Advisors has a blog, the Tpilnomics Tamadon blog, which has posed some interesting looks on the social and cultural context of economic issues in Georgia. A recent look at the economy of Tbilisi taxi drivers, noting that the author's experience doesn't match his economics lessons. Taxi drivers in Tbilisi tend to charge less if you don't argue about the price and instead leave it up to them, especially if you speak Georgian and are friendly. Hosting culture will override the instinct to overcharge most of the time. Jam News marked October 30th at the Day of Remembrance for the Political Victims of the USSR, covering in brief the scale of repressions in the Caucasus in Russia as an example of the absurd charges faced by some people. They share the story of a shoemaker who was persecuted for piercing a newspaper that happened to have Stalin's face on it with a needle while he was working. Evening Standard wrote about why you need to try orange wine this autumn, briefly discussing the history and production of these wines, noting that the arrival of a 6-pound orange wine at discount supermarket may have driven a nail into the coffin of the cultishness that used to surround orange wines. They recommend a few, including one Georgia one, Rkaziteli from Sikhnachi, Pheasant's Tears Winery. All this stuff to read, posted on the forum. This week's dive bar number is 26. The number of animals on the Tbilisi State University coat of arms, based loosely on a design found on the Church of Ishkani, built in 1006 in what is now Artvin province, Turkey, home of the Bagrationi. National Botanical Garden in Tbilisi is hosting a flower show on the 2nd and 3rd from 12 to 5. Featured plants include chrysanthemums, dahlias, and other seasonal flowers. Museum of Modern Art in the State Folklore Center is hosting the 2nd Annual Art Doll Festival, featuring works from international doll makers. The event opens on the 2nd at 7 p.m. at the museum in Tbilisi. On the 4th, from 2 to 6, a group of Tbilisi animal lovers will meet at notorious vegan institution Kiwi Cafe to discuss ways to help street animals survive the winter, to collect donations of food and medicine, and to raise money to buy medication for local animals. Also on the 4th in Tbilisi, the Georgian Cheese and Wine Festival will be held at Deda Anna Park from 1 to 8 p.m. There'll be tasting, food, drinks for purchase, and excellent electronic music. Tbilisi Book Days runs from the 8th at 10 a.m. through the 11th at Expo Georgia and will feature new translations, best-selling books from this year, discounts, writers, translators, publishers, giving presentations, and various other activities. That's a lot of fun, even for non-Georgian speakers. Check it out. Batumi's Contemporary Art Space is hosting a free Kids Corner on the 3rd at 12 noon for kids ages 5 to 13 to learn about different art forms with a gallery curator, registered on Contemporary Art Space's Facebook page. In London on the 5th, the British Georgian Society has planned a talk titled Tbilisi Archive of Transition to be held at the gallery on Cowcross Street. In London on the 6th, the Georgian Embassy and the Royal Asiatic Society present a book launch of Unlocking the Door, Writing from Georgia, featuring Georgian short stories, fairy tales, and plays in a bilingual format. The event will be held at the Royal Asiatic Society beginning at 6 p.m. That's it for this week. My Twitter address is at TXTBUK. That's Tango, X-Ray, Tango, Bravo, Uniform, Kilo. Our email is tblpod@gmail.com or post to the forum on our website, www.tblpod.com. And we will finish with, from Alaska in 2009, this is Kate Earle, Can't Treat Me This Way.